You know this girl?
Well, isn't she pretty? Earth Angel. Earth Angel.
She was killed.
Oh, won't you be mine? Well,
along with Jefferson Sevens, but I think you already knew that, huh?
No, I did not. I don't care what's fashionable or cool. It's all silly and it's all meaningless. I created so many of the things that you care about. The songs that give your life purpose and joy. When you were 15 and rebelling, you were rebelling to my music. Uh-oh. That's what you know. That song was not written on distorted guitar. No. I wrote it here on piano somewhere between a blowjob and an omelet. There is no rebellion. There's only me earning a paycheck.
I don't believe you.
Well, good. Because the real message was not meant for you. So it's better if you just smile and you dance and you enjoy the melody. Because this ugly old man, me, I am the voice of your generation. Your grandparents, your parents, and all the young people that follow you. I love rock and roll. Drop another dime in the jukebox, baby. Oh, look at you. Everything that you hoped for, that you dreamed about being a part of, is a fabrication. Your art. Your writing. Your culture. Is the shell of other men's ambitions. Ambitions beyond what you will ever understand.
That's funny to you.
Well, it's a little bit funny, don't you think? Because I wrote this. And I wrote this. And I wrote this.
Stop it.
And I wrote this too.
Stop it. Who's paying you to write these songs? Who's paying you to write these songs?
Oh, shit.
How's it going? Happy Easter out there to all who celebrate. It's me, your boy TT, back with you here again on what is quickly becoming a bi-weekly tradition with one of my patented solo casts. Apologies for it being just me again this week. This time around it was pure Cantwell. His car exploded or something like that. I mean, not actually, but it was a whole thing that he was on the motorway going to work one day and basically just had to pull over and, try not to crash because his car crapped out on him. So he was off the road for like 4 or 5 days, so he couldn't get into Stewed to record. So it gives me the opportunity to catch up with you guys, let you into my brain, and see what's happening up in there. I'm recording this on Easter Monday, so hopefully it'll be getting to you on regular Tuesday. I don't know what the Tuesday after Easter Monday is. I think it's just a Tuesday. I've got a few things I want to talk to you about, but I hope you had a nice Easter. I did. I got out. I had 4 days off. I got out to a bit of nature. I spent some time with the fam. It was good. It was kind of dreading going back tomorrow, if I'm being honest. But, it was nice. And it was decent enough weather. Just nice to have the few days. Gorge on the kids' chocolates. There was a nice little, like, Easter egg hunt down in the local park, which turned into a bit of bedlam. You have to be on your toes when there's chocolates and young children involved, and especially if there's older kids, I tell you, they take no prisoners. There's no messing around with them. The first year we went down, I think it was cleared out by after like 5 minutes. I literally had to go to the shop to buy a bunch of like mini eggs or whatever the equivalent was, and then like spread them around, be like, oh look, there's Easter bunny eggs there for my kids. So it wasn't that bad this year, but you know, if you showed up, I think a friend of my little guys, they showed up like 15 minutes after it started, and they're like, we got no eggs. So you know, me being the good guy I am, I reached in to my child's bag and gave them some eggs. I would say it's a freebie. Oh no, actually, you know, it was £4 actually, now that I think about it. And they did get an egg at the end, like a Cadbury's one, or my kids chose Smarties. Well, £4 for an egg these days is pretty scandalous, if you ask me. And the chocolate eggs they gave out were fairly disgusting. I will keep them for a rainy day when I need to appease the children in the back seat of the car or whatever. But you know yourself. It's all about creating the memories, isn't it? Andy's not here, so you know, I can't slag him over Liverpool crashing out of the FA Cup in hilarious fashion to a pretty up and down Man City team. But the last two games, you know, 2-0 against Arsenal, 4-0 against Liverpool, maybe they're back. Maybe they'll win the domestic treble. Because, you know, they're in the semi, City are in the semi-final of the cup now. Arsenal are out. You can't see this, but I have a big smile on my face. And they didn't deserve to beat Southampton. They lost 2-1, you know, rightfully so. And, you know, City, I think Arsenal have Bournemouth next, and City have Chelsea away. If I'm, you know, making my predictions, I don't think that City are going to win all their games. But Arsenal against Bournemouth next Saturday at midday or whatever it is looks pretty important now, because it is, I think it's a 9-point gap. City have a game in hand and they have to play Arsenal at the Etihad. So, you know, stranger things have happened. And I'm just, I mean, we had the heartbreak of the Ireland game. And I knew when Big Keith made that save, I was like, here we go, we're going. And then it was Finn as Az, and I like him a lot. He's pretty talented, he's a good playmaker. But you know, it's one of those where it was like an Elka in the Man United Chelsea Champions League final when he was stepping up. You knew he's not getting it, and the same with Az. I had a feeling. But then when it was Brown stepping up, I was like, well, this guy, you could tell he was shitting his fucking pants. He didn't know what to do. So that was a bit of a heartbreaker. But, you know, they went through. Check you. So they check you the box to qualify for the World Cup. That was bad. And then I got myself excited because I thought it was Premier League action back, you know. Man United are playing Leeds. But no, some idiot decided to schedule the FA Cup after the international break. So again, there's only like, whatever, four matches. Jesus, is that right? Sure, that can't be right, can it? So I'm jonesing for my PL action to be back. We've got Leeds next. I think Champions League is midweek, so tomorrow and Wednesday. I think slot may be gone before the end of the season for Liverpool. And I think I am winning the bet between me and Andy. I'm getting myself some Lucozade. And who knows, it could be a doubler. It could yet be 7 points. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm going to be talking about some stuff that I have seen. I've got them broken into categories. So we've got some new releases in the movies. I got some TV stuff and I got some streaming stuff. So why don't we kick it off into the blockbusters that I've seen lately?
And welcome to Movie Phone, brought to you by the New York Times and Hot 97. Coming to theaters this Friday, Kevin Bacon, Susan Sarandon. You've got to get me over that mouth! No! There's no higher place than Mountain High. Rated R. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1.
Kramer? Is that you?
Lang?
What time does Chow Fun start?
I don't know.
Okay, so I have seen two big new releases in the cinema. One good and one bad. We'll start with a good. It's Project Hail Mary, the big hit so far of 2026, and I'm delighted. I couldn't be happier that it's my man Ryan Gosling. Like I said on my last one, he needed a hit. I have seen the movie since then, and let me tell you, it's good. It is a very charming movie about a man in space. The trailer kind of gives away the twist, premise, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, like with all most space movies, Earth is dying slowly, maybe a bit quicker in this scenario. But, you know, Ryan Gosling, when we meet him, he is on a spaceship hurtling through space. He has no real memory of what's going on or how he's there. And everybody else on the shuttle, space station, whatever you want to call it, is dead. And he, through flashback, you are told how he got up there and what his mission is to do. Essentially, there are these things that are killing the sun. And he has to go and find in an area of space that's not affected by it. So he's a high school chemistry teacher, physics teacher, I can't remember. Physics, I guess, would make more sense. Science teacher, whatever. And he's recruited by the army to investigate or run an experiment on these things. He seems to figure out it. It's all very rudimentary, his experiments. It's kind of like, oh, basic science is the best science. So, like, the flashback stuff is quite effective in rounding out the character. The stuff while he's on the shuttle is really interesting to me because he is alone up there. I will say it is based on a book by Andy Weir, who also did The Martian, which is a very similar premise, which we will be covering on our Matt Damon mini-series over on the Patreon. You can get access to it for the low fee of 5 euro a month. Just going to put it in there in case I forget to plug it at the end. And it's the same person who adapted the screenplay for The Martian, adapted it for this. I've not seen The Martian in a while, but it's like that guy who's only seen one movie, The Martian. It just gives me big Martian vibes. Because it is, you know, a charismatic leading man, pretty much on his own. For most of the movie, except he meets an alien who is also trying to do the same thing he's doing, and they become buddies. And the movie actually becomes more of a, like, buddy comedy between the two of them. And God damn it, is it fucking quite affecting. His little buddy is a rock alien called Rocky, and it made me cry a couple of times. I say cry, but it hit me. You know, I was welling up some of the stuff between them. It's like 2 hours, I want to say 2.5, maybe 2 hours 20 runtime, roughly. And it, 2 hours 36 minutes, precisely. You could have knocked 20 minutes off it. I think it kind of ends 2 times, 3 times over. But it's I'm glad I got to see it on the big screen. Would I have liked it as much on the small screen? I don't know. If I had my phone in front of me to distract me or whatever. Harder to say. It looks incredible. Like some of the space stuff and some of the planets that they see from afar and all looks amazing. So like it was on IMAX. That's part of the reason why I think it's done so well. It's made $217 million domestically and $420 million worldwide. For a movie in March, it's pretty fucking incredible. So you know, happy for him. He's got him being Ryan Gosling. I forgot to say, it's directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who directed, you know, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. They also directed the Lego Movie. They were notoriously shit canned from directing Solo, A Star Wars Story, and that movie, I mean, they brought on Ron Howard to finish it. The movie is kind of a mess because you can feel the two movies colliding. Like you can feel the Phil Lord and Christopher Miller energy, and you can feel the Ron Howard energy. This is like a big achievement for them. I've always liked them. They haven't had a major movie in a long time, so I wouldn't be surprised if this, like, it's happening more and more often these days. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like nominated for some Oscars. You know, it's almost a year away for the Oscars, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it in there. Sinners last year, 16 nominations, was released in April. Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think, was April as well. Like, you know, it's happened the last few years. It can be a year long kind of campaign, shall we say. But it's a good movie. I really enjoyed it. A movie that I did not enjoy, but also made a shit ton of money, was the Super Mario Galaxy movie. And let me tell you, oh man. I guess if I give you a bit of like context, I wasn't crazy on the first one to begin with. I watched it when I first moved into my house in 2023. We didn't have a proper bed for us upstairs. I think we just had a mattress and we had a newborn. So Faye was on the mattress upstairs with Gus co-sleeping. And I was sleeping on an air mattress in the living room. Just until we got it sorted. And I remember watching the Mario movie one night, lying on the air mattress, feeling very sad and being like, is this my life? You know, we'd waited so long to get into the house. And so I was down on it then for my circumstances. I'm a bit higher on it now because we watched it like fucking 50 times in the house. And it's quite charming and it's fine. You know, you got the Peaches song in there. You got some good music. Like you got Aha. You got some ELO. Like it was a nice soundtrack to it. This movie, I don't know why it irked me so much. I mean, it is trash. Same as the first one is trash, but the first one is way more stomachable trash. This one just didn't. It's just real bleh. Like, it's just real. I'm sorry my criticisms aren't better form, but it's just, you'll know if you watch it. Like, kids will love it. Like, your kids will, my kids, like, I couldn't even pay attention to it so much because my three-year-old was getting a bit overwhelmed by the noise at times. So I was kind of keeping him in check. But even when I was like, oh, that stinks. Like, Fox McCloud is in the movie from Star Fox. And I'm not one to be all high and mighty. He's like, he's not even in the Mario games. But he's not, like, you know, Smash Brothers. That's the only time they'd interact, Super Smash Brothers. So non-canonical is what I would call it. And the fact that it's played by Glenn Powell couldn't even lift it up in my eyes. No Donkey Kong. He's in it for like one frame. They cram Yoshi in there for no real reason whatsoever. All about Bowser Jr. being the bad guy, and I'm like, where's the rest of it? Where's the other seven Bowser kids? If you know, you know. Like, you know, it just didn't do. Jack Black, you know, was the bright spot in it for me. I guess maybe it's just because I dropped off the Mario games. Like, Super Mario Galaxy as the game was fun, but a bit annoying, I think, if my memory was. I'm not sure who Princess Rosalina is. In this, she's Peach's sister, and they're made of stardust, and, you know, whatever. Where's Wario? You know, why don't you got a bench there. Use Wario. Daisy, no mention of Daisy. Maybe they're going to introduce her in the third one, because they are going to make a third one. This opening weekend alone, I talked to you about Project Hail Mary being a big, big hit. Opening weekend for this domestically, 190 million. Worldwide, 372 after one weekend. So it's like 50 million behind Project Hail Mary. So this is going to be like the biggest movie of the year, I would say. Or one of them. One of them, definitely. But it stinks. And I still have a lot of problems with Chris Pratt as the voice of Mario. I guess I'm more okay with it being Charlie Day as Luigi. Just because. I guess maybe I like Charlie Day a bit more. But he brings a little something more to it, I guess. And they kind of sideline my man Toad as well for a lot of it. I don't know. Just wasn't as witty. Wasn't as funny. Nah, no songs really in this one. Like Bonnie, Tyler was also in the first one. Give me something like that. Anyway, go see it with your kids or don't. Whatever. Don't see it. I gave it 1.5 on Letterboxd, but you probably have to go see it with your kids if you have any. If you don't, avoid it like the plague. That's my advice. Okay, let's move along into some TV shows I've been watching.
TV respects me. It laughs with me, not at me.
You stupid.
Don't!
I guess the big news in TV on this side of the pond, anyway, is the fact that now HBO Max has launched in the UK and Ireland. So my beloved The Pitt, that I've been waffling on about for the last while, is available to watch if you don't have other ways, shall we say. I have it through my Now TV subscription. It's just been added there. And it's great. It has a fantastic catalogue of movies and television shows. My favourite sketch show of all time, Mr. Show with Bob and David, is on there. If you are not familiar with it, just type it into YouTube. They've got like tons and tons of amazing sketches. God's Book on Tape is one of my particular faves. That's a deep cut for all you Robert Evans heads out there. I know who yours are. That's on it. We have Tenacious D, the TV show. If you remember, like, they have a bunch of like kind of alt like comedy stuff on there. Tons of stand-up, because, you know, all the comedians would do their comedy specials for HBO. Like I say, you got The Pitt. I was getting a lot of TV through my Sky Atlantic subscription, which is again with Now TV, but there's like they've added in so much more there. The big one they're marketing is The Pitt, but also Industry, a show that I have been watching and that you couldn't get through Sky Atlantic because I think it airs on the BBC in the UK before HBO Max was added. It's set on the trading floor of a bank, I guess, is my understanding of it. I've watched the first season. It's quite good. It's a bunch of young, up-and-coming English and American actors and all the shit they get up to in the world of finance. And Ken Leung from Lost, if you remember, and from the first Saw, is in it. He's also in Project Hail Mary for a small role. I recommend it. I've started season two, and now that I have easier access to watch it, I will be continuing on it. But the main show that I've been watching at the moment is a show called DTF St. Louis. And this is... I watched the first episode when it came out, and then just kind of paused it because I was like, oh, you know, it's marketed as a kind of murder mystery, that it's two suburban men that are kind of in a bit of a malaise in both of their marriages, and they sign up for this dating service, DTF St. Louis, Down to Fuck in St. Louis. That's where the movie, the TV show is set. It stars the two main characters are Jason Bateman and David Harbour. And it was quite interesting because the first episode kind of paints the picture of David Harbour being like a little bit of a sleazeball, and off the back of his acrimonious divorce with Lily Allen and that album she did, essentially raking him over the coals of their marriage, I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting that this is the role he's kind of taken on. And he is the character who winds up dead, that you find out in the first episode. And then the show, when I caught up with it, and I'm up to date now, there's one episode left that's airing next week, the show turns into this kind of sadder, stranger, slower examination of, like, not just male loneliness, but like loneliness in general. The idea is that Jason Bateman is a local weatherman. He's a pretty, you know, I don't say notorious, but he has notoriety, I guess. He's on billboards all over St. Louis. And he possibly is having an illicit affair with David Harbour's wife shortly. It starts shortly before David Harbour's character turns up dead. The reason they're friends is that David Harbour is a sign language interpreter, so he is signing the weather while Jason Bateman is, you know, putting it out on TV. But there's just a kind of contemplation of, like, middle age, and like, is what we're doing in any way, shape or form important? You know, are they living, you know? They talk about, like, happiness in moments, and the more you kind of peel back the onion on it, the more interesting I found the show to be. Strong performances all around. You know, Bateman, you kind of know now when he has his dramatic shoes on what you're going to get with him. He's pretty solid. You know, it's different flavor to Ozark. It's a lot more vulnerable. I don't think creepy is the word, because a lot of it has to do with, like, kinks and what, you know, what gets people off and stuff like that. And there's a bit of codependency in their relationships and the nature of friendship, and, you know, how could he be best friends with this guy if he is also shtupping his wife. So, you know, I'm really intrigued. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it after the first episode. This is what I'd say. Like, if you're not really hooked by the first episode, I would kind of keep going with it, like I did, and it really kind of grabbed me in. Richard Jenkins, like, one of my all-time faves, is the detective investigating the murder, or the death, shall we say. And, you know, he plays a very nice shade of, like, well, I'm the grizzled detective, I know what's best. And then, like, as the case is evolving, he seems to be learning more about what people do in their private lives. And there's something with his character, I think, that may still come out, that, like, maybe he is a closeted man, because I don't know, there's something there that he can't wrap his head around, the idea of what people would do in their private life, in their sex lives. Linda Cardellini plays David Harbour's wife in it. She is just fucking great, as she always is. And you know, since Freaks and Geeks, I've been a huge fan. She, you know, she's Hawkeye's wife in those Avengers movies. Too good to be playing that role, to be honest, but she's really good in this. And Peter Sarsgaard just shows up a couple of times as a kind of strange, effeminate owner of a roller disco. It's just an interesting show, I think. It's an interesting show because, you know, these guys are probably like 10 years on from where I am in my life. And not to be like, oh, well, I don't want to end up like that. But there is an element of that where you're like, you know, it's not like has life passed them by, because, you know, you can still be doing whatever you want to be doing at whatever age you want to be doing. You want to start mountain climbing? Go for it. Like, you know, that's my opinion. But like, it is easy to slip into a routine or a malaise or whatever you want to call it in life as you get older. Like, it's not the same. I was only talking to a friend, you know, the other week, where I was like, we met up for a 40th and it was fantastic. You know, everybody was together, had a great crack. And then it was like, this used to be twice a week. This used to be Friday, Saturday night. You would see, oh, who wasn't there Friday night? They're there Saturday night. Now it's like I'm happy that a bunch of my friends are turning 40 this year, because we'll get to like meet up and go on the piss like 10 times, which hasn't happened in the past since everybody was getting married. You know what I mean? So I guess that's why it has hit home for me a little bit, that I was like, you know, I've passed the 40 threshold, getting up to the midlife crisis ? Not just yet. Okay, anyway, I'm kind of rambling here. I have one last segment I want to do, and it's about a couple of things I've watched. Streaming movies that went straight to streaming or just available to watch. So let's get into those.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm fucked if I know what we did.
Yes, sir. It's hard to say.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That clip for me kind of sums up the state of streaming movies at the moment, because it seems like a lot of these streaming companies are now trying to pivot back to theatrical release, or they're trying to pivot back to cable television models. And it just feels to me like, oh, we broke a good thing that we had. Maybe I should have used the clip from Breaking Bad where it's Mike being like, we had a good thing going and you broke it because of your stupid ego or whatever. But that's about sums up how I feel. Because there are some definite positives to having everything at your fingertips, like I talked about with the HBO Max archive, but it's more, I guess, the death of the mid-budget movie being released in cinemas. They all go to streaming now. And I watched one recently on Disney Plus on the Hulu tab there. It's from writer director Ben David Grabinski, Gesundheit. It is called Mike and Nick and Nick and Alice, and it stars James Marsden and Vince Vaughn as, I guess, co-workers. They're gangsters together, and Vince Vaughn is Nick. He hires Mike, James Marsden, to take out a target for him, and it turns out the target is himself, and Vince Vaughn is from the future. So there's two Vince Vaughns in it, and it's kind of, he's come back in time to stop something that happens over the course of this one crazy night. And I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed it a lot. It's a nice, easy breezy crime caper. You've also got Isaac Gonzalez, if you've seen Baby Driver, she was John Hamm's squeeze in that movie. She's also in Ambulance. She's really good in that movie. Michael Bay's Ambulance. Holding her own against the ever crazy Jake Gyllenhaal. Increasingly so on a day-to-day basis. And You also have like supporting characters like Keith David, my man. You have Jimmy Tatro in there. Stephen Root shows up for a brief cameo. Dolph Lundgren makes an appearance. And it's a good time. And I would have liked to have seen it in the cinema, but the way things are going, it probably would have been one that I bought on DVD or Blu-ray back in the day, you know. You missed it in the cinema, but you'd pick it up there. And the reason for my little rant at the start is, and I've said it before, but like, it, there's no way for these films to be profitable, and there's less incentive for them to be made except for just content for the library. So like, some of them are getting made, but like, this one is quite competently made. It, the shootouts and the fighting and stuff looks good. James Marsden is, he's on a roll since, if you guys ever watched that show on Amazon, Jury Duty, where he plays himself and is called for jury duty, and the whole premise of the show is there's one unsuspecting non-actor and everybody else is an actor in it. James Marsden kind of really poked fun at himself and the notion of being an actor in that, and he's kind of been on a roll ever since. He's got those Sonic movies going for him. He plays the president on a TV show, Paradise, that I probably have talked about before. My brain is soup, so forgive me if I can't remember. But he's really good in this. He's great chemistry with Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is closer to mid-2000s Vince Vaughn than he has been in a while. Still not quite the rat-a-tat-tat dialogue. He's a bit of a straight man at times. But you know what? He's nice and easy breezy. He's charming in it. You know, I liked it. Like, it was fun. It was a fun way to spend Friday evening. And that was kind of what I was looking for. The ending kind of bummed me out, to be honest. The ending felt like a huge studio note. Just, I'm not going to spoil it. Like, literally, the last 2 minutes of it, I was like, oh, okay. Could have done without it. But it's got some great... It's the guy who made this is obviously, like, you know, a huge movie nerd, and some of the needle drops he uses in it, whew, they're like right up my alley. Anybody that can use Ants Marching by Dave Matthews Band in a strip club gets a big tick in my book. You also had like Thin Lizzy, Boys Are Back in Town. You had Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis. He said he got the music rights before they'd done the big reunion. He said he wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise. But the Oasis one, it has Bela Lugosi is Dead, one of my favourite fucking tunes that nobody knows about, but it's class. And yeah, like, I'm glad it got made, but like, you know, if they were to, there's no incentive to do another movie, another one of these. Kind of something similar with like The Nice Guys. It is very similar to a Shane Black movie, actually, now that I mention that. Like, they're never going to make a Nice Guys sequel, which sucks, because it, you know, Ryan Gosling will tell you, it got killed by those Angry Birds. But Shane Black made a movie for Amazon last year. Again, a straight-to-streaming movie starring Mark Wahlberg. And it's a crime caper, and there's some good bits in it. But, like, the budget being what it is, all the gunfighting looked fucking shit in it. Like, it looked so CGI and so crappy. At least in this, the action was quite competent, and the guns seem a bit realistic. But it's, yeah, it reminded me of a Shane Black movie. That's the type of movie we don't get anymore. And I wish we did. I wish we got more of them. So I guess I should be thanking my lucky stars for this. But, you know, it's what we had once. We're not getting back, I don't think. Speaking of Shane Black, one of the stars of his film Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is Val Kilmer. And I checked out a movie that he starred in on HBO Max called Spartan. And it is essentially David Mamet, who wrote the stage play of Glengarry Glen Ross and has directed some very good, in my opinion, movies that nobody would have heard about. There's a great one called Heist, starring Gene Hackman from the mid-2000s that you can't find anywhere, but it's class. And he wrote and directed this movie. It's essentially Jason Bourne, but it feels like it's born in the 90s, and Val Kilmer plays, I don't even know if his name is Spartan. I don't know what his name is in it. But the idea being that the president's illegitimate daughter has gone missing. She was in college and has been snatched from her room. And Val Kilmer, who's the best of the best, has been brought in to find her. And he's a ticking clock. And it just is him moving from place to place. Trying. It feels like a Tom Clancy book or something like that. Like, you know, or Andy McNabb, something like that. Like, even, yeah, or a Robert Ludlum book. Like, and what's nice about it is, like, he's obviously the star of it, but then you get a few people, like, just popping in for a scene or two. Like, William H. Macy pops in for one, Ed O'Neill, Clark Gregg, like, all these guys, you're like, oh, it's him. It's good shit, man. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Mamet's dialogue. I don't enjoy him as a person because he's gone down a fucking right-wing rabbit hole. But it kind of reminded you that Val Kilmer could still be a star, could still have that gravitas. This is right before he dropped off the edge of a cliff. You know, he'd kind of come back from the wilderness in the late 90s after being Batman and the Saint. After the Island of Dr. Moreau, where he kind of admittedly lost his mind. And, you know, I've talked about Val being one of my guys in the past, but this was a nice one to see. I think it's 2004, but like I said, it still feels very 90s, which is, again, increasingly a place I want to return to. Okay, one last one, and it relates to the clip I played at the start of the pod. It's a movie called Under the Silver Lake, and it stars Spider-Man himself, Andrew Garfield. I don't say the best Spider-Man, but my favorite Spider-Man, my favorite actor who has played Spider-Man. That's a better way of putting it. And this movie, I watched it on Mubi. Thanks, Gary, for my 3-month subscription. I am actively trying to, use it as much as I can before it's gone. Just watched a Jonathan Demme movie I'd never seen before called Something Wild, starring Ray Liotta, 4 years before Goodfellas. And Jesus Christ, what a fucking movie star he was. Like, it's his second ever movie. He's incredible in it. Anyway, Under the Silver Lake is about Andrew Garfield's character, can't think of his name right now, and he is a loser in LA. Loser in the sense that he has no job and is doing nothing with his life, and he meets a girl, Riley Keough. Fun fact about her, she is Elvis Presley's granddaughter. Bet you didn't know that. You probably did. If you did, good for you. And we can be friends. But they meet in his apartment complex. He has a bit of a meet cute with her, and she goes missing, and he decides to become a kind of pseudo detective and try and find her. And intertwined with all that is his obsession with messages in advertising, I guess, and in comic books and in media. That is throughout the whole movie. There is this, I saw this movie before, again, I saw this movie when it came out in the cinema, and I really liked it. It is written and directed by Robert David Mitchell, who directed It Follows, and it is very different to It Follows in that it's not a straight up horror movie, but like, this is a kind of noir-y detective type thing that has a bunch of upsetting bits in it, and I think it's better than It Follows. The second time around, I absolutely loved it. I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd. It's 2 hours, 15 minutes long. It doesn't feel it, in my opinion. There's weird side tangents and stuff in it. Like, Topher Grace shows up. He's a bit of a fucking creep in it. But everybody in LA seems to be a bit of a creep. And it's, by the end, I was left feeling disaffected, sure, and it's a bit nihilistic, but I don't know, man. It kind of did hit me that, like, we are all being influenced and, you know, controlled by bigger corporations. They kind of talk about how the message is not meant for you. It's meant for somebody else. So you just, you know, smile and get on with it. You're not important enough. And there's all these themes about why would you want to stay on Earth if you could ascend to a next plane, shall we say? Like, how there's nothing good here, and there's a running theme about, like, a dog killer, possibly schizophrenia happening in the movie as well. There's just a lot going on, but I really fucking dug it, man. It was very affecting for me. Like, there's a whole bit where he deciphers code from a music, like a latest LP that some band has released, and then matches it up with a, like, Nintendo magazine grid. He makes, like, a directional chart, or, like, and I was just like, oh, does this actually mean anything, or is this just him being fucking insane, kind of putting things together where they're not actually there? I highly recommend it, man. I think it's cool. Andrew Garfield is in it. Who else shows up? Jimmy Simpson, one of the McPoyles from It's Always Sunny, is there as well. Patrick Fischler, character actor extraordinaire, is in it as well. It's the best film I've seen. Best watch I've had in quite a while. And I've always kind of gone back and played, clips of the movie out of context on YouTube, whatever. But second time I've watched it fully through, I was so happy I did. And so, fuck, again, great soundtrack. There's some good stuff in there. REM features quite heavily in it. It's like, there's a line, it's like, oh, it's old music night in the cavern club or whatever. And they're playing, like, REM or Brimful of Asha. And I was like, ugh, turning to dust. But yeah, that's about all I have. I'm running out of steam here. I hope you guys are keeping well out there. We will be back next week, and hopefully then we'll get into our rhythm of we'll be in stewed every week. And he's got a few bits going on in his life. He's getting busier than ever with his ads. Soon you're going to be sick of him, seeing him. What's his latest one? Carlsberg? I don't know. It's shite beer. Sorry, Andy. Not for me. Not for me. Never has been. Never has been. just an old drive-by there on Carlsberg. Why not? But you know, if you want to hear more of our inane ramblings, specifically talking about Matt Damon, why don't you pay the old €5 and come behind the paywall and say, "Hi, Darlene." That's a reference to our latest episode we've done there, is The Departed, because, like I said, it's a mini-series on the movies of Matt Damon. We are rapidly approaching the end. We've got Bourne Ultimatum left, True Grit, and The Martian are the three we have there, but we've got a back catalogue of a bunch of great stuff. We've got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, of course. I've talked about him a lot here. What's so great about Big Willy Flops, aka Will Smith's bad movies? What's so great about the movies of Tony Scott? What's so great about heist movies? And what's so great about the year 2007? Plus, we got a bunch of, once-off, once-top fives, pitch meetings to one another. There's some good stuff there, you know. So come along. It's only €5. Coffee and a half, depending on where you buy yours. I'm learning the price of coffee. My wife said she paid $4.20 for a coffee somewhere the other day, and apparently that's very expensive. So, Fiverr is not so much more, and you'd be real helping out your old pals, Terry and Andy, and a bunch of good stuff there. And you can help shape the pod as well. When you sign in, you get to select what we cover over there. I'm putting up the next poll for the next mini series very shortly. It's the Big Boy Ballot. Three of my favorite directors are going to be there. So I'm not going to reveal them on this ep. It'll probably be next week's, where we talk about who they are. And yeah, and then if you want us to cover anything, any topics, you can put it in there. We have had some requests for like a review of a TV season. That might be a bit much. Or like an album review. Those are a bit more palatable. But if you can't afford the €5, you can do me one more better and give me a rating and review. 5 stars only, please. Like I said, I hope you guys liked Easter. Hope you're looking after yourselves out there. Hope you're not breaking the bank paying for fucking petrol, because it is fucking idiot in the white. I'm sorry. You know what? I have to go. All right? But could be a matter of days now. Could be gone. So you get the big L for me behind the paywall. So I'll just leave you with I like you as a friend. And I will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Program a cup, sing the corners, a loose end, cap, on the fence, could not survive.